Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about nerdy board games. That's right. Today we're talking about nerdy board games. Matt and I like to play board games that take a long time,
yeah,
have a lot of rules.
I feel like for most folks, that's the definition of a nerdy board game. They're like, how long is this going
to
take?
Yeah. And ours can be up to 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Usually in the 2 hour range, I would say an hour to 2 hour range.
Yeah.
But I
feel like my sweet spot now is like 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
Yes.
With the kids or just other things that I've got going on. It's hard to spend 4 hours playing a game.
No, it's true. So I've got another set of friends that I play with.
Yeah.
And you don't usually play with those dudes.
Yeah. You're taking it to a whole nother level.
And we game really hard.
Yeah.
But sometimes we'll get together and play with our wives and stuff like that too. And I like to play with my wife. We play board games. And so we want to talk all about why we think they're important, why they're fun, what they teach us, and how they actually end up saving us money. So
yeah,
nerdy board games are actually kind of one of those.
It's kind of got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Kind of built in. And
it's one of those small spokes in the wheel that we love.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the last episode, we dove into investment properties. And so this one, we decided to kind of steer more towards something a little lighter.
So if you're not like ready to drop 30 grand on a down payment on a rental property, that's cool.
Yeah.
You can drop 30 bucks on a nerdy board game and have hours and hours and hours of fun gameplay.
Yeah. Every week though, we crack open a beer. We pour a beer. So pour, not pour. And Joel has a fantastic beer for us tonight.
So Matt, we got lucky to find this one. I've had this beer one time in my life. You've never had
and
this
I've
beer.
I've never had it.
So
I'm super stoked.
I'm really excited to share it with you. I legitimately would consider this beer top five beers I've ever had in my life. And I've definitely had upwards of 1,500 beers in my life. So this one is one of those crown jewels.
Have you really had that many? 1,500?
Oh yeah, easy, dude. Look at my Untappd.
Different beers.
And by the way, if you want to follow us on Untappd, go to pournotpour.com and you can follow that and you can see. And I haven't logged all of them, but yeah. I know from basically what I've logged and then what other beers I've had that I don't log.
Nice.
And
I don't know honestly what my count is, but I think I don't have that many. I know I don't have that many. That seems like a huge number.
But like, so think about it. I went to the Shelton Brothers Beer Festival and I probably tasted.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
40 beers in one day, right? And there's like beer festivals like that where it adds up.
It adds up. Oh, so yeah.
And I get around.
You drink a beer a lot. No.
Oh, wait. So I don't even think I said the name yet. Okay. So the name of the beer that we're drinking today is Wicked Weed Golden Angel. It's a barrel-aged American sour ale with apricots.
It's got that fruited sour again, man. That's a good style.
And so this beer is super hard to come by, although now that Budweiser acquired Wicked Weed, they on Black Friday put out some of these beers in markets around the country where they distribute, and I was lucky enough to get my hands on a Golden Angel.
Did you get these from your guys up on Peachtree?
Yeah. So I got the same. Shout out to my peeps at Peachtree Package.
Yeah.
They're super kind and save me good beers from time to time.
Treat you right.
And they do. And this one, I'm so glad they saved it for me. I'm super pumped. So let me open it now and we'll do the
crack
pouring.
It open. Kate and I went up to the Funkatorium up in Asheville. And I know I've had the Red Angel and I've had Black Angel.
I don't know which ones of those I've had. I swear I've had one more Angel because the Angel's like a series. It's like some of their better beer. They have a Frambu Mort. Mm-hmm. Which is their, it's like a raspberry, Belgian style raspberry, I think spontaneously fermented beer. That's super fantastic.
Not surprisingly, this is pouring a beautiful golden.
I'm glad it looks so good and I hope it tastes that good because this bottle was $20. And
that's a lot.
We like good beers.
This isn't a huge bottle. This isn't one of those 750s. This is
500 milliliters, I believe. So we're each getting probably roughly what?
Yeah, 500 milliliters. So one pint, 0.9 ounce.
8.5 ounces each.
Yeah.
They use 1 pound of whole fresh apricots per gallon.
That's a lot of fruit. Yeah, so you can go online. The episode post will have a picture up of the bottle there. You can see that. And
of the beer in the glass. So you can take a look. And Golden Angel is... Let's take a taste and then we'll get into the major tasting notes after we finish talking about nerdy board games.
Oh man, that is like perfectly balanced.
Oh man,
it's my. Is that annoying? Is that like my? That's like my tasting catchphrase.
It's your catch line. One of these days, we're gonna put T-shirts with your face on it, and just say, "Oh man,
oh man." This is so well balanced between the. I mean, you've got that tartness with the sweetness from the apricot.
Really nice, like carbonation to it as well.
It feels great in your mouth. It's not too thick and syrupy. It's still bright.
It's almost got like a slight champagne like quality
yes,
to it.
Yeah, too. Absolutely.
All right, we'll get into the specifics at the very end of tasting notes for Golden Angel from Wicked Weed.
Man, thanks for going out and grabbing that. That's great.
I'm glad we get to taste beers like this. If you don't know, that's what we do, man. Pour, not pour. We're all about pouring a good beer and living a rich life and drinking Golden Angel, man. I mean, that's where it's at. And yeah. Okay, speaking of rich life,
what did
we do today, Matt? That was awesome.
Yeah, we spent some time riding around. We got loaded the girls up and went to a local brewery.
That's right.
It has been terrible here in Atlanta as far as weather is concerned. And so being able to get out in shorts and hop on the bike some, get the blood flowing.
Or in your case, jorts.
Hey,
you know, do we have a pic of that we can post on the website? I hope everyone wants to see what is you,
man.
You know what his face looks like from the podcast artwork. But
it's fine if you get to see my jorts, my short jorts.
But everyone else wants to know what your chicken legs look like in jorts.
If they want to see that, that's fine. We might throw that up there then.
All right, maybe for your viewing pleasure, keep checking back. Check the website.
I don't care. Sometimes you just want to just throw in some shorts on, and that's just what's at the top of my the drawer. That's what I have. There's paint all over. They're work shorts. They're old jeans, and I cut them, trimmed them down into shorts, and now that's just what I wear sometimes in public.
They look fantastic. I was proud of you for wearing them.
Thanks, buddy.
And so we had a wonderful ride, just a few miles each way, and
local brewery, get to order a couple beers, hang out outside in the sunlight. The girls are having a blast. We're meeting neighbors that we've never met before.
Seeing old friends.
Yeah, seeing old friends as well, catching up. Unplanned. Yeah. That's life. If I could do that every weekend.
Agreed. Yep. I think that's my idea of a perfect weekend. And so I'm so glad that we got to do that, have a lot of fun riding bikes.
Yeah, and our buddy Jeremy came along with us as well. And he's got a podcast. Palmcast.
So if you
are into
lungs and how they work and function, check out his
everything pulmonary related.
Exactly.
You're going to want to check out Palmcast.
Yep.
That's something he puts on there at his hospital.
But he's the man.
With some other guys. Yeah. Inspiring. Great dude. Also shares our affinity to bikes and beer. So he
and podcasting
came along. Yeah.
The trifecta. So that's what we were up to today. And feel free to, if you guys went out on your bikes and you took awesome pictures, tweet us. Not poor Joel, not poor Matt on Twitter. And let us see what you were up to. And if you pull off jorts better than Matt, feel free to tweet us at those pictures.
I want to point out too that, I mean, they're somewhat ironic jorts. It's not like I didn't grow up in Florida. Not at all.
Oh, it's totally, any guy in Florida wearing them, that's straight up. He thinks it looks good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's all about it.
I wanted to mention too, earlier you mentioned Untappd, our accounts.
Yeah.
If you go to our contact page on our website at pournotpour.com, there's links up there to everything. We've got our page up on Facebook. We've got our group up on Facebook. We've got our profiles on Untappd and our Twitter accounts and our Instagram. So everything's up there if you're kind of wondering where to find us.
And by the way, we're about to get into the subject at hand. We're talking nerdy board games today on the podcast. If you want some more meaty material, the last podcast was about investment properties. Feel free to go check that out. And we just posted an article too about how to save money on insurance. So there are a bunch of ideas about how I think you can save literally hundreds of dollars a year that Geico commercial of saving 15 minutes saves you 15%. Well, really, I really think that reading through this thing and using some of these strategies can easily help save you hundreds of dollars a year on car and home insurance.
Yeah.
So check that article out if you get a minute.
That's good stuff. Actually, I just thought of something from the brewery, from Eventide.
Yeah.
So I was paying with cash.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
The only reason I had cash in my wallet is because it's not right after Christmas, but I still have Christmas money from family. And I've got a birthday in December as well. I don't ever use cash, though. I just never think about it. I forgot how to even use cash because the girl's like, do you want to pay now or start a tab? I was just like, well, I've got I've got cash.
Do I turn this into tokens to then pay you with? I don't know.
So, I mean, my entire life, literally starting in high school, I started using a credit card. And I would, you know, I keep up with it and pay it off. You know how I am. I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
I track all that.
I wanted to tell you, and you would be so happy. Emily and I talked about our budget right before we came over here tonight.
Nice.
So, yeah, we sat down. We, like, went through,
did
went
you
through
really?
All the specifics. Heck, yeah, man. We got the spreadsheet out.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. We're killing it.
But, I mean, yeah, when's the last time you paid cash for something, especially, I mean, even beer?
It almost never happens. But I had the same experience, actually, today using cash, but only because I'd been selling things on the Facebook yard sale site.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've been like decluttering, getting rid of some things,
yeah,
making some extra cash.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
pay you in cash on there usually,
or
Venmo, whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Venmo or the Cash App. But
yeah,
I'd much prefer that.
Totally, I love those things. But
money
actually,
just seems so dirty.
Yeah,
it's always like,
well, it is dirty.
It's kind of wet and
germs all over.
Yeah,
I'd much rather you pay me digitally.
Did you pay for your beers with cash?
I did today because of that. Because people have been paying me, but again, it is this weird thing.
I didn't see you.
That I'm almost never paying, and I like never have cash in my wallet for any reason. So
those guys are probably like, what are these guys doing rolling up with bills in their pockets?
Jorts and cash? These guys must be drug dealers.
These guys are from like the 90s. What's going on?
These guys were from Florida in the 90s.
Oh man.
I think
it felt different. And I know, like, you read that, how, you know, it feels different when you're actually spending money. But what I liked about it was that I didn't have to sign it. I mean, I just gave the money and it was close enough and I just walked away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Felt kind of cool being able to do that and not like, let me sign something. Get the receipt.
You know, it's easier when they use like the iPad thing and they flip it around for you to sign it with your finger as opposed to printing out the receipt.
That's nice and quick.
Yeah. I dig that. So, okay, we both used cash today randomly.
Yeah, who knows?
And it almost never happens.
Okay, so last episode we talked about what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Right? But we need to talk about you a little bit too. Do you want to tell folks what you do for 9 to 5?
Grave digger.
Yeah. That's where you get all that. Is it grave robber? Is that where you steal all the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be a different occupation. Yeah. I can do both at the same time though.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I work in radio. So my boss, if you're interested in other podcasts about money, his name's Clark Howard, and he has been hosting a consumer advice radio show for 30 years now.
The original podcast. Radio.
And you can find him on podcasts too. So he's usually high up there in the business section rankings. And he's also been podcasting for 12 years. So he's been doing the podcast thing for longer than most people have been at it. And so, yeah,
that's
we're newbies here, but if you and Clark...
Well, you can call us noobs, but you're the one that's got... I mean, you've been in radio for
close to
10 years now, right?
Yeah, I've worked with Clark for 11, so I've been in radio for a little bit longer than that.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, I love what we talk about. I love the medium of being able to talk to people long form and help them too. I think that's actually literally the coolest thing about my job is we help people every day.
Oh, yeah.
People call in, they ask questions, they get help with their finances, with money issues, with, you know, buying a house, saving for college.
I mean, all sorts of stuff, right? He fields all sorts of questions.
A huge variety of questions. So it's really, really fun to get to work on that every day and get to help people. And so I just inspired me, like, you know, I've got a similar philosophy in a lot of ways to Clark, but we also live life a lot differently. And so Matt and I love beer and talking about money and, so we're going to use this platform on Poor Not Poor, hopefully to do something similar and reach a different audience.
11 years of talking on the radio, man. That's why if anyone was wondering why Joel has that silky smooth voice. Mm. Well, that's why.
It's true. Yeah. It just gets better. You know, as you talk more on the radio, your voice just turns into pure gold.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing.
Is that why mine sounds like crap?
You'll get there, buddy. You'll get there, you know?
Whereas I've been spending 10 years not talking to people and just looking at pictures.
Looking at a computer screen.
Have to learn how to talk again.
Yep. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Oh, that's sweet.
All right, let's get into the subject at hand. It's board games. We're going to talk about why we love them. And the first reason is because they're fun.
Yeah. Instead of sitting around and watching TV or playing games, even online. I mean, just the different video games that folks are doing. I listen to some soccer podcasts and they talk about it on the show, how they get together, not in real life, but through the different
Xbox
networks.
Live
They play each other. They play, you know, in FIFA or whatever. And still, like, that's fun and that's great that you're actually playing against someone else and not a computer. However, it's just not the same as the true, you know, in-person hanging out where you're talking to somebody. there's so much nuance and everything else that's missing from
it's like getting a beer. It's like getting a beer over Skype. It's super
that
weird.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not want to do that.
No, I'm not into that. Yeah, board games are so much fun. I think of some of the, like literally last year when Emily and I, at the beginning of 2017, we were making our goals. There were kind of two goals that I had for that year. And one was to play more disc golf. And the other was to play more board games with my friends. Because those were just two things I thought, well, what are they're two of my favorite things to do that I don't do enough of. And so last year, I didn't do as good about playing disc golf, but I did do a better job about playing board games with friends.
One or the other. You know, a lot of people choose, I want to try to lose weight for their New Year's resolution.
Yeah, no, or... I'm svelte, dog. I don't need that.
Instead, you're like, oh, I want to play more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, dude, I think that's a good thing as long as both of those things for me are usually time spent with other people. So it's community.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm literally, you've never met a more extroverted person than me. So
that is true.
I recharge spending time with other people, and I really love board games. I really love disc golf. And so either way, I'm going to be hanging with people doing something I enjoy. It's like a torpedo right in the center of my personality. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Yeah. I get to play a game and socialize and hang out.
Yeah.
Build community.
So not much more fun than that. And my wife and I, we love to do to play nerdy board games together too. But first, let's tell people what we mean by nerdy board games. So we've kind of used this phrase. We've talked about board games. We're not talking about Candyland here. I mean, maybe you are, Matt. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're into.
I love it. Candyland and Chutes and Ladders. You know, all my favorites from as a kid growing up. Did you play games growing up?
Yeah, we totally played Sorry.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember Sorry.
Yahtzee. My parents loved Yahtzee. We played a lot of Yahtzee. Yeah. But they didn't have, or maybe they, I guess they did have a couple of these kind of games, but now they've proliferated.
It's a different ball game.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way craft beer's proliferated from what it used to be.
Yeah, Sorry and Monopoly, they're still around, but now we've got these other games should we just say a few? Some of them might be the easiest way.
I think the first one, the gateway drug, if you were, into nerdy board games is Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, Settlers of Catan is the marijuana of board games.
So you've probably seen celebrities now posting that they're playing Settlers of Catan or something like that. It's gotten to that point where everyone knows about it. It seems like if you have no idea what Settlers of Catan is, look it up on Amazon or whatever.
Settlers, Puerto Rico.
Carcassonne is a big one at this point. Another popular one.
Ticket to Ride.
Agricola is kind of an old school one. Ticket to Ride, super popular.
I feel like it's a little more classic. Has it been around longer? Maybe we should.
Yeah. Ticket Ride's been around quite a while.
I'm sure it has a wiki page, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally, dude. Yeah.
So in general, this is what we're talking about. These kind of games, I don't even know if Monopoly kind of counts.
No, I don't think so. Risk is on the edge, just on the outside edge, I would say. It's close, but not quite what we're talking about.
It's definitely before the sort of what I would call the, I'm going to make this up, maybe it's a real thing, the board game revolution.
Yeah.
That I feel like happened in the 90s.
Of 1997. Yes, of course. Yeah, everyone knows about that. Batten down the hatches.
Didn't study it's that coming. In American history. Man, it's more like world history because all these games come from Germany.
Right.
Anyway. But so that's what we're talking about.
So, besides using the term nerdy board games, the best other term I think I can use is strategy board games.
Strategy board games, nerdy board games.
I think the reason
they all take a long time to play. Typically.
Yeah. I think the reason something like Monopoly and Risk don't make the cut is because they're way too chance oriented. They're almost completely chance oriented. There's some skill involved, but these ones, I guess if you're looking at it like a pendulum, Risk is going to come down on the side of it's more chance based, and the strategy board games we're talking about, some of them more or less, but they're going to always come down on the side of it's more skill based. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, the decisions you make through the course of play definitely affects if you're going to win or not, compared to playing Monopoly or Risk or something like that. You can play, and then a 7-year-old could win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that 7-year-old's not smart. It's not what I'm saying. However, I know more than that 7-year-old.
And I'm going to rub it in their face. That's totally your attitude when you play with kids. And it's disheartening to watch, I got to say.
So why else then do you like these board games? Obviously, they're fun.
Yeah, I think so. For me, they're a chance to get to hang out with friends or my wife and get to do something that is different.
Instead of the default, you mean maybe to sit down in front of the TV and, flip over to Netflix or something?
Totally. We try to do that rarely, once a week maybe. Mm-hmm. And this is that perfect thing, especially at home after we put the kids down, if we're tired. It's okay, cool. Let's play a game for an hour. We can do that. We can, you know, engage our minds, and we can talk to one another while we're doing it.
Yeah. Gosh, that's one of the reasons Kate likes it so much too. Just being able to talk.
Yeah.
And with family as well. I mean, we love playing these games like over the holidays, like catching up with family and kind of hanging out. Because, you know, sitting down and just talking about stuff, it can be kind of intense. So having, you know, if you're working on it, playing a game.
You get like the pro-Trump and the anti-Trump, and you're like, oh, let's just move on from
that. Let's kind of ease the tension here. Yeah. You want to play Ticket to Ride? So specifically, yeah, that's one that we introduced to my dad. He never played before this past Christmas. And, you know, he's just like, well, what about Carcassonne? Like, I learned that one last year. And I think he was ready to play that. But we taught him how to play Ticket to Ride, and he loved it. He won one. Second night we were playing. Yeah,
Ryan, way to go, Tim.
Took me out. But yeah, that's one of the things Kate loves, is just being able to kind of hang out in person, face to face, catch up some. But it's not such a, like, an intense time. You know, you've got that game going on. You've got the third, like a third party sort of distraction in a way. But at the same time, it's not like a football game where if that's on, that's all it's going to do is just steal all of your attention and
suck your energy.
Yeah.
If it's on, you can't pay attention to the person that's talking.
Yeah, you're not hanging out and talking. You're just kind of all doing that instead. Yeah.
I completely agree. So board games, nerdy board games, are super fun. We've defined them. Now you know kind of some of the ones that are popular. At the end of the episode, we'll kind of tell you some of our favorites, and on the website, we'll list out 5 or 10 of our top favorites too. Another reason I think board games are so awesome is that they save you money. Some of these board games, I will not lie, are really expensive. You might even drop $60 for one of these board games if you get super hardcore into it and want one of the expensive ones. Some of the more basic ones we're talking about probably start in the high teens, probably $20.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like
20 to 40.
So there's like $30 or something like that.
Yeah, probably 20 to 40 for most of them. But the great thing is they save you so much money because there's so much replayability to some of these good games.
An infinity amount of games can be played.
Right.
Once you actually get the game and learn how to play it, well, man, instead of renting a movie, or no one rents a movie anymore, I guess, but instead of like on Netflix,
you rent one off Amazon or whatever.
Even if you're considering going out and just like, wow, maybe we can just stay in, boom, you've got the game already. You've got tons of choices. It's always different.
Yeah, totally. And I love the idea. I don't know about if your mind thinks about it like this, but like when I bought my bike, I've been kind of keeping track of the miles. I've got a little odometer on my bike. And so I'm kind of waiting to hit that point where I've hit the amount of miles where basically I pass it's cheaper. It's like $1 a mile, right? So I'm thinking, okay, I spent $1,300 on this bike. Once I hit that 1,300 mile marker, I've hit the $1 a mile. And then I'm like going down from there.
Yeah, it gets even cheaper and cheaper. So
that's the kind of way I think about board games.
So basically, the more you play it, the cheaper it is.
Exactly.
Per play, you're like, man, this is getting cheaper every day to play.
Like, I've only played that one 6 times. I need to go play that one a few more times to sort of get my money's worth out of it. Yeah. So that's the great thing about these board games is, you know, some of these games we've played, Emily and I have probably played 50 or 60 times.
Yeah, a ton.
And the replayability is still great. And, you know, maybe, you know what, we haven't played it for 6 months, but we'll come back to it because it's such a good game and we'll play it 3 times in a week. That facet to the game is you buy something one time, you know, maybe you can get it used, whatever. That's cool. That's even cheaper.
Yeah.
But you buy it one time and then you've got all this replayability and you can trade it with friends. You know, I've got one version of Ticket to Ride and you've got another, Matt, and we can.
Yeah, we got the European version.
We can swap, which is great.
How did you get started playing some of these nerdy board games? So was it actually Settlers for you?
Yeah, the first one was Settlers.
Okay, yeah, because it was for us too.
And it was with a friend, and they were just like, "Hey, you want to get into this?" And I was like, "This is this like Dungeons and Dragons, man? I don't
know." What kind of question is that? Hey, it's like they were propositioning you to like they knew that you're going to get addicted. It's like, hey. You sure you want to get it? This
he said it in that underhanded voice, you know.
Yeah, you sure you want to do this?
Like, I don't know. I'm young and impressionable.
Yeah, that was definitely so. For me, it was post college, and it was when I was broke living up in North Carolina. That was the first time I remember the first time playing it, and for that reason, it was awesome because we didn't have any money to go out. Literally, we would just like chop wood for fun.
Yeah.
I mean, partly because we did it for the...
In your jorts.
not in my jorts. I was actually probably wearing the jeans then that are now the jorts.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I hang on to stuff a long time.
It's a long life cycle for those puppies.
But yeah, I didn't have any money to go out to a movie or whatever it was folks were doing. And so we'd hang out at the Red House. That's what we called it. And
because it was purple, right?
You know it.
Yep.
And we played a ton of specifically Settlers. I don't even think we got into anything else because we had just learned it and loved it so much.
Yeah. Well, until I think, you know, Settlers like went so far when you first learned it. It went so far. I remember for a couple of years, I had like birthday parties where we'd like play Settlers.
Yes.
And that?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh man, I remember. Yeah.
So
I remember
that. Best. Yeah. And it just had so much replayability.
It was a tournament.
But there's a turning point.
So, yeah.
Once you get one or two games past that. I mean, we haven't played Settlers in like 5 years now, probably.
I literally can't remember the last time. It's been a while.
Yeah, because like once you get it, but okay, so did you grow
it'd be
up?
It'd be good to go back to it though.
Totally, it'd be interesting.
A lot of games don't have that. There's a human element in Settlers.
That's
specifically,
true.
And we're referring to the trading aspect of it, that you can really antagonize each other and make enemies or, you know, make people like you. But a lot of the other games don't have that aspect.
That's true.
Which is something I kind of miss. Yeah, because I like there's a certain human element that's kind of fun to kind of poke and prod people with your ridiculous trades.
Yeah, that one's got it going on. So, okay, for you, did you grow up playing
board games?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I mean, you mentioned Sorry. That was one. I want to say that was honestly one of the early, because that's, what is that, like a counting game, right? Like you roll a dice and then you that's essentially what it is. And there's
let's
nothing
say
else
in middle school
it.
Years and stuff, middle school, high school, did you play more of those, kind of like getting into that more, a little more strategic?
Not really, man.
No. Okay.
I mean, that was like the era of middle school, especially. I was just outside playing. I grew up in Augusta, so I was playing golf literally every day. I mean, we'd come home from school, play like five holes. I didn't play any games, I think, in middle school or high school. And not even college either, because college is all about hanging out. And
that's true.
You know,
college, none for me. We'd play poker. That's about it.
Yeah, I never got into poker. I had friends that they would get together and do the Texas Hold'em night. I always felt a little like, oh man, this kind of sucks. I'm not part of that. But I didn't want to play. I didn't have any interest in it.
It was good you didn't.
Yeah, it seemed like a good time to get together, like the social aspect of it. But the actual game, it's cards.
Yeah.
There's some card games that are out there that people love, I know, but.
So I would play Risk in high school with my buddies. And
nice.
So I really liked games like that already. And like I said, Risk is probably the closest one that's just on the other side. And so I was kind of already into that stuff.
Nice.
And then, you know, finding these other board games has just been such a fun outlet for me. And a great sense of, you know, you find people that love what you love and that are into it like that. And you find this little community that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Just like the craft beer community that we're into. So it's kind of, it's super fun in that way.
Yeah, you can go pretty hard into anything that you want.
Yeah. But I would encourage you, if you're looking for a hobby that's going to save you money, this is one of those things. Because really, some of my friends have these like shelves with like 40 board games on them. You know, I've got like 8 or 9 board games that I love, that I absolutely love. And then I play with other people that have other board games too. But it's not a very expensive hobby. And the amount of replayability that you can get from it is freaking fantastic. So I would say if you're looking for a cheap hobby, this is a great one to kind of wade into.
One of the reasons I love these board games is that they teach you. So specifically what I mean is that for me, they kind of train my mind to think in ways that are strategic that can be applied to real life. And so if you're sitting there, again, if you're sitting there playing a video game or watching TV, you don't really think, you don't use your brain in the same way that you do when you're playing these games.
You're really passive.
Oh yeah,
as opposed to active.
I feel like that way with any time there's a screen involved, it's passive. You're just looking at the pretty picture.
Completely.
There's like pretty colors and cool graphics and whatever.
You know, I was just thinking that this morning as my eldest daughter, who's 4 and a half, was sitting on the couch, and she had this big piece of plastic that was about the size of an iPad, and she was pretending that it was an iPad.
Oh yeah.
And I...
Dude, Evie does that too.
We don't let them have screens. Yeah. And so... It was. I just thought it was amazing, though, that her brain was active, and when she is in front of a screen, like a television, because that's
what she like talking and playing with it and doing different stuff like
it
that.
Was
yeah,
so,
being creative.
It was so awesome to see her mind engaged like that.
So sitting there zombed out watching Moana.
Because if it was actually an iPad, she would not be communicating or doing anything fun. And I love to see her brain work because that's why we avoid screens. We could talk about that another time. But
it's
so cool to see that, you know, you're right.
Exactly.
You're completely passive in front of one of those screens.
And the same thing applies with these games is that, so not only your brain is working while you're doing that, but I think you literally learn strategies that can be applied to real life, right? And so you've got, typically, you must always have limited resources when you're playing these games, and you have to make decisions, right? There's trade-offs. Yep. It's like, I'm either going to go this route, or I'm going to go this route. You know, like this sort of this strategy I'm going to try to play to win the game, or I'm going to go with this other strategy. And that's life. You know, it's just whether it's like, am I going to go, you can apply it to anything. Am I going to go for the job that's got the big paycheck? And that's going to mean I'm going to have to sacrifice maybe some other things. It means I'm going to have to go into debt.
Now we're talking about the game of life.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember playing that.
Yeah, totally. That's too. A good one.
That one didn't even come up.
That's a strong one.
Oh, that's so funny. That's totally true. It's like, do I go to college or do I go straight to the job?
You're literally making those decisions in the game.
But I mean, that applies, I think, so well, though, from these games directly to life.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that these games are sharpening my brain as I am thinking through different strategies, and I have to keep a lot of things in my head at one time, especially with some of these more intricate games that I like to play. And so having to think about, okay, what could possibly be coming up and what do I have in my hand depending on what the game is, right? And what resources do I have at my disposal, and do I want to like use all of them now? Probably not. I need to have some for two rounds from now. Mm-hmm. And there's all those sorts of things that go into your head. And I think it's a really fun way to exercise your brain that is super active and super interesting and really fun. And my brain gets that in some ways in other parts of life, but there's something specific about playing these nerdy board games that my brain doesn't work like that any other time.
Yeah, it condenses an entire lifetime into, say, a 1 hour, 2 hour game, right? And so you're starting off and then kind of building this thing. Well, that's what we're doing our entire life is, you know, trying to build up whatever it is that we're, you know, our goals are. So it's gratifying in that way. Obviously, if you win, it's more gratifying, but
it's true.
And I want to say this too, hearing you describe it, it almost sounds a little bit stressful, but it's not, because it's a game. And when you're done with it. It's not like real life where something is just still hanging over you. If it's something that you haven't addressed, it's something that once you're done playing with it, all right, done.
Yeah.
Box it back up, put it on the shelf or put it in the cabinet and
if it does sound a little stressful to you, I would encourage you to start off with some of the easier board games.
That is true. Yeah.
And so let's talk about some maybe the easy ones that we would recommend, the gateway drugs, if you will, into strategic board games. And we already mentioned Settlers of Catan. That's probably literally the number one that you should start off with that you'll get years and years of gameplay out of. If you've never played any of these games before, that's one you should really start off with.
Yeah, and it's just fun. Again, like I mentioned, that human aspect of it. Just
totally.
Trading from one person to another, and people get mad at each other, and it's just fun to be a part of, I think.
Start throwing beers at each other. Whatever.
Yeah. I think another easy one then, too, is Carcassonne.
Yes.
I was going to say that.
Yep.
I think Carcassonne might even be easier to learn than Settlers, because you don't have to memorize what resources you're trying to get to build whatever thing you're trying to build.
And Carcassonne's a little more of a tile-laying game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tile game.
Which is super fun. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of plays out of that.
Settlers is sort of a tile game, but really it's a board game. Like you use the tiles and you build the board, but then you're playing on that board the whole entire thing versus
Carcassonne.
It's a tile laying game where you're building something.
Of all the games that I own, I think Carcassonne might be the one I've played the most.
Thanks. Well, because you can knock out it. I mean, you and I can knock out a game of Carcassonne. I mean, we do this on vacation.
30 minutes.
Oh, man. Do you remember I just thought of
when we got yelled at for playing on vacation because we played like 8 rounds in one night?
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. This was down in...
Our wives are like, when are you coming to bed?
Man, it's coming full circle. This is when we're down in Florida and when we go on vacation together, which isn't all the time, but we try to go on a trip with you guys.
Once a year.
Yeah, once a year or so. We try to bring a couple games, right? Or maybe focus on one that we just hit real hard the whole week.
Yeah.
But that year it was Carcassonne. And I remember,
we went hard.
We just kept bat duking it out, man. Kept going back and forth. But yeah, that's one that's a great sort of starter board game to pick up.
I think Splendor is another good one that's pretty quick.
Is that the jewels?
Yeah,
the card flipping one. I've only played
card
that
flipping
one.
And you're acquiring coins to buy more cards to win the game. And that's a good easy one. And Ticket to Ride is another, I would say, easy one I would recommend. Mm-hmm. That you can these by easy we mean shorter time frame. Easier concepts, less to hold in your mind while you're going through it. So it's just the principles of it are more basic in elementary.
Yeah. Yeah. And for whatever reason, those are the ones I like. So so you can read into that whatever you'd like.
So in some of the medium level board games. So I think that one that Emily and I have been playing a lot and we introduced you guys to recently was Viticulture.
Oh yeah.
Where you are basically making your own winery, and you've got a vineyard, and you're planting grapes, and you're making wines, and you're filling wine orders. It's really, really fun game. And I will say, one of the other elements of these games that I love is the artwork. They're beautiful games. So many of them are beautiful, and Viticulture in particular is probably the most beautiful game that I own. And I love to get out of the box, and I love to play it because it's just so dang pretty every time I open it.
It like helps you relax. You feel like you're in Italy, or
yeah, a little bit, man.
Where is it supposed to be?
Yeah, it's supposed to be set in Italy. Yeah,
yeah. So a lot of these board games, like I think we mentioned it earlier, but I think almost all—not all of them, but a lot of them—are German. And for whatever reason, the Germans like making these kind of these supply chain sort of efficiency driven games where you have to figure out the most efficient way to build whatever it is that you're trying to build. I guess it's not surprising.
No.
You start talking about it, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, that sounds like the Germans.
Yeah, that sounds like the Germans. But they always have like the names of the guy that created it on the box too. And it's always like Hans Jürgen.
Klaus Tober.
Klaus Tober and all these names that we laugh at.
But now we kind of want to meet them. Now they're kind of our idols in a way.
We're getting to be ultra nerds.
Another great medium level game that I love is a game called Acquire. I would say it's probably in between easy and medium. And that's a really, really fun, super easy one to learn, I feel like. But you have to keep a little more in your mind the whole game. So you have to kind of try to keep track, if you can, what other people have in their hand card wise.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of fun, but it's also
a little more intense
to try to remember all those things.
What about Agricola? What do you consider that to be a more complicated one?
I say that gets into hard
pro level.
I think it gets into a little bit harder, but you can.
It's got like 2,000 pieces.
There's a lot of pieces,
a lot of little chips and cards.
So as you can imagine, by the name Agricola, you're literally. You have like an ancient farm, and you got animals and vegetables, and you're basically building a family in a farm, probably set in, I don't know, like the 1400s.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
So in like serfdom days or something, but it's really, really fun. And Emily and I have gotten a lot of play out of that game too, because some of these games you can play two players. Some of them require more.
Yeah, three or four players each, but Agricola, you can play two players, right?
Yeah, and that's great. And
man, that's one of the reasons we love Carcassonne as well. You can play that. Obviously, you were talking about you and me playing that, but
Ticket to Ride too. You can play two players.
Oh, can you really?
Yeah.
I haven't played it with two players.
I think that's what's great about some of these games is that the rules just change a little bit with two players.
Some of the options aren't available.
Right.
Like they would be if you had three to four players.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And so I would say one of my, like probably my favorite game right now, and it's one of those that we joked about, but literally it takes like 4 hours to play. and I don't think you can't play with two people. So I play usually with a group of guys. It's a game called Nations. It's amazing. It's
like Risk on Crack.
It's kind of like you're literally running through all of history.
Really?
And you're building a civilization. It's incredible.
Kind of sounds like Pandemic. Did you ever play much in Pandemic?
Yeah, I like Pandemic. Pandemic's one of the rare ones where you work together, which is kind of fun. So you're not competing against each other. You're actually working together.
That's true. Yeah. That's why I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like you win, because it's like there's no enemy.
Oh, we all won. Well, then none of us
won. Exactly. You want to be able to beat somebody that you're looking at.
That's true. Yeah.
That's how I am. I don't know. I'm more competitive.
No, I am too. I like to win, man.
Working together, it's like, okay, it's like beating the computer. Right. It's like beating the game or something. It's like, well, that's not as fun as Mario Kart where you're facing off and, you know, attacking each other.
True. Yeah. So we'll list some of our favorite games, our top five.
Yeah. Put that up on the episode post, on the show notes.
And we'll also link to, I would say, one of the best websites for you to learn more about these games, to get more interested, is a website called BoardGameGeek.com. And they kind of rank these games, and those rankings are constantly changing.
It's like Untapped, but for board games, right?
Exactly. It's if you want to go way down the rabbit hole. And one other thing I would recommend to you if you're interested in these games is looking at YouTube tutorials. Sometimes the rule books can be really lengthy, and so watching a YouTube video where someone walks you through the steps of how to play the game can be super helpful. It can take you 10 or 12 minutes as opposed to
30 minutes to an hour trying to read through the books.
Right? Yeah, and then remember it all. So if you actually get to watch someone play through it a little bit or explain it to you and show you the basics of gameplay, it can kind of really help speed up things as you're getting into the games.
Yeah. Or obviously, I mean, if you've got a friend that knows how to play, man, that's always the best way to learn. Just have them over,
yeah.
or next time they invite you over, take them up on it and sit down and play, and it'll be a much better experience than four people that sit down to play a game they've never played before. That can take a long time and maybe not be the most fun.
So we mentioned YouTube. Two podcasts in a row. So if you need to fix a water heater, YouTube. And if you need to learn how to play a dorky board game.
Dude, YouTube is...
YouTube.
Yeah, it's kind of the best.
It's pretty great.
And they've got the YouTube TV now. They're like trying to take over.
That's true.
Which is actually a fantastic product. Yeah, trying to knock out the cable companies and some of the other content providers.
Yeah.
I'm all for it, man.
And if you need like puppy videos, YouTube.
Yeah.
Just to make you feel better.
I don't watch many puppy videos.
Oh, yeah, me neither. No, I mean, yeah, me neither, man. What are you talking about? Puppy videos? Yeah, those are lame.
Yeah, so let's get back to the beer, man. What do you think about this Golden Angel?
It's pretty freaking awesome. It's super heavy on the apricot. It's really, it's got, like I said earlier, it's got a little bit of that like kind of champagne-y vibe to it. Like a white wine, champagne, apricot, sour.
I think maybe that might be one of the reasons I like it is that it does kind of taste like all those things, and the apricot to me isn't crazy noticeable. Maybe to me, I just don't notice apricots that much as well, but to me, it's like a blonde sour ale or something like, you know?
Completely.
Yeah. Some of these other beers that are heavy on the fruit, it's just a very distinct flavor, and that's kind of all you taste, whereas the apricot, it kind of blends into this sort of golden blonde flavor profile that, I mean, I would like to think that I would be able to be like, oh yeah, that's an apricot beer, but...
See, but I think when you bite into an apricot, it's got kind of an acidic quality to it. And mm-hmm. and I think
that's what I love about it.
I think that's why.
This beer.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly why they're perfect in
for something like this.
Yeah. In these kind of beers. So I'm a huge fan of this beer. It tastes phenomenal. Mad props to Wicked Weed. This is one of my favorites. So
nice sour. Good amount of funk in there as well.
We'll have to get more in the Angel series as we progress. As Matt makes more money, so we can buy fancy beers. We'll, yeah.
And, yeah. You're the one with a 9-to-5 with a, you've got a pension, right? Don't you have a pension?
Oh, it's true. Yeah, I do. One of the old school, I do. Almost nobody
going back
has
to your job.
Anymore.
Who has a pension? I don't.
Almost
that's,
nobody?
That's you.
Yeah.
That's a good job, man.
It's true. So Golden Angel, highly recommend it. If you have $20 you want to spend on a fantastic beer and can actually find it.
Yeah, or if you're even lucky enough to come across this.
Because it's really good.
Get it. But yeah, Joel, thanks for getting this beer.
Thanks for drinking it with me, buddy.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. Be sure to check it out. We'll have our show notes up there for you.
And don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show. Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out.